Thank you, Brother Marvin. My thoughts this evening were kind of towards our veterans, and with Memorial Day tomorrow, we think about the soldiers. And I wanted to bring out this evening some of my favorites that are in the Bible. The soldiers for Christ. And one of the things was the character of the soldiers. And we had all sorts of different personalities, the same as we do today, as we go through the scriptures and look at those that were chosen by God to lead the people. And I'm going to start this evening in Deuteronomy chapter 20. And this was a time when Israel was going to go to battle. And I'm going to read the first verse first off. It says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." The Lord had led the people out of Egypt, and he showed many miracles while he was doing it. And he says, I will continue to be with you. But he didn't tell them that they were going to have an easy time. They were going to go into battle. And he has never promised us a life of ease, especially if we want freedom. We're going to have to make the effort to fight for that freedom. And as we think about our veterans and those that are serving in the military, it hasn't changed today. We still have to pay a price for the freedom that we own. I'm going to go to verses 8 and 9, still in the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy. "And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart fail faint as well as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people." One of the requirements that the officers made over their people was, if you're going to be afraid, if you're going to be a coward and run, we don't want you to affect those that are fighting beside you. So go ahead and leave now before we go into battle, because we don't want you to cut and run when the battle starts. We want you to be brave and to not be faint-hearted. They wanted them to have faith in their Lord, that the Lord would fight with them. And when these officers had given their little pep talks, the same as they do today, then they appointed captains over the different groups of soldiers, and they would have their duties to carry out. I'm going to go over a couple of chapters to the 22nd chapter of Deuteronomy and read verses 6 and 7. And this is something under the Mosaic law. You could go on all night about the Mosaic law and all the different laws that they had. But a lot of it we find to be just common sense if you have a kind heart. How to treat your neighbors, how to treat your neighbor's animals. If you see the neighbor's animals getting away, you go and you help round them up and help mend the fence or whatever it takes to keep things in order. And that's the way that the Lord wanted it, and he gave them laws concerning these things. And when I farmed in Nebraska, I used to find bird nests and stuff. Sometimes it'd be little owls or pheasants. And if I saw that nest in time, I would stop and I would move the nest over so it didn't get squished by the equipment I was running. And I never thought much about it. It just seemed like the thing to do. You help out Mother Nature when you're out there working with her every day, and you don't want to destroy the things that have been created. And I saw this and I just thought I would bring it out because this has something to do with character and what God expected. In Deuteronomy 22 verses 6 and 7, if a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. You know, you wouldn't think that a characteristic like this was something that was required under the law that Moses gave to the people. But it was. You don't purposely go and destroy something for nothing. It was something else if you were searching for food or things like that, because the animals and things were provided for food. But you don't just destroy them. You go around with purpose and with good character. There were those that, like me, questioned their own character and say, well, it seems like the Lord's telling me to do it this way, but it doesn't seem possible. So I'm going to need a little bit more. I need a little sign or a little something from the Lord to make it clear to me exactly what it is that he wants. And we saw this with I'm going to go into Judges chapter 6 with Gideon. Gideon was told that he was going to lead Israel. He says, no, not me. I'm not worthy to do that. They were going to go into battle, and it just didn't seem possible to him that the Lord would pick him, Gideon, to lead the people. And so in Judges chapter 6, I'm going to start on verse 36 and read through 40. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also were gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun, unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt serve Israel by mine hand, will save Israel, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. The Lord has patience with us when we feel weak. And he knows that we struggle with our weakness, and he is willing to work with us to convince us that he is there, he is speaking to us, and he is real. And he can do it in many different ways. But if we are direct with the Lord and if we're sincere, he will answer us. And he does it in a very objective way, which is clear to us. It may not be the same for someone else, but for us personally, he will make it clear. And he did that for Gideon here, because he had a mission for Gideon. And even though Gideon did not feel that he was worthy, the Lord knew he was and convinced him to do what the Lord had asked. Over in the 15th chapter of Judges, we see a little ingenuity, and this came partly out of anger and partly out of kind of a desperation. And this was Samson. We all know who Samson was. You even see his name on gymnasiums and stuff. Very, very strong man. He was given strength by God. And he was a great warrior because God had a purpose for him. But he also had ingenuity. And he became very angry when he was wronged. He felt that he was very wronged, and we'd all have to agree that, yeah, he got a bad deal. But over here in the 15th chapter of Judges, I'm going to read verses 4 and 5 about what he did against the Philistines when he became angry. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. If you've ever seen, I was even talking about this afternoon, we used to take a tire and light it on fire and wrap a chain around it and tie it to the truck and drag it to burn our stubble fields. And when you spread a fire like that, it spreads quick and it's hard to put out. It'd take a lot of people to put out a fire. If you can imagine 300 foxes running through your fields, starting fires the whole way, that's going to be hard to put out. And so Samson accomplished what he was after here. he was after a little vengeance, and he got it. And the Philistines were going, who did this? So they said, well, Samson. Samson did it. And they didn't want to go against Samson, even though he was one man. They tried, and a lot of them paid the price for going against him. But we saw the ingenuity here. Kind of the way that Samson's mind was working. There's someone else that we know of that was called upon to do something that was next to impossible. And he had faith that he could do it. And that was David when he was still pretty young. And he was going against Goliath. And we all have a Goliath in our lives. There's been times when we have had to go up against something that just seemed impossible. It's like, you have got to be kidding me. I don't want to have to face this, but I guess you have to do what you have to do. So you put your trust in the Lord and you go up against Goliath. And that's exactly what David did here. And this is in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And it's nothing new to us, but it's kind of fun to look at once in a while, especially if you feel like you've just met Goliath yourself. Whether it was something about your life that pertained to your job or something personal in your life that overwhelmed you. And you say, well, I've got to face it. Nobody else can. And so we go against Samson. And I want to review this a little bit about what David did in 1 Samuel 17th chapter, 38th verse. And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. For he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. David was not used to armor. David was a shepherd. He was used to just the clothes on his back and the sling that was in his hand. And that's what he wanted to fight with. He didn't want a whole bunch of extra armor and things that would burden him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast denied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistine this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine rose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. You know, when you're in self-defense course, that's one of the things they teach you, to do the unexpected. When you have a giant coming at you, he's going to kind of figure that you're going to cower and try to run away. David attacked. He went towards him. The unexpected. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off the head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their companion was dead, they fled. So here you've got an army of Philistines that went against one man. And when they saw that one man with a sling and a stone killed their giant leader, they turned and ran. It took the wind right out of their sails. And the Lord knew it would. And David knew it would. And he knew it was all possible because the Lord was with him. We used to raise horses quite a bit. And they can be really obstinate. They don't do what you want them to. They get barn sour, and they don't want to go where you want them to go, and they'll fight you. And a lot of times, it's hard to win when you're against a horse that outweighs you by quite a bit, sometimes by 1,000 pounds. But yesterday, I was out in the field working for a neighbor, and the sheep came into the field where I was, and their teenage daughter come running after the sheep, and she was more afraid of the tractor than the sheep were, and the sheep came right up to my tractor, and so I just turned the tractor and let her get in there to herd the sheep back the other way. And the sheep weren't afraid of the tractor, but she was. She respected that noisy old tractor of mine. And so we see that animals can be obstinate. And they don't always do what we think they should. I want to read a story that I think it's kind of funny in a way, but it's in Numbers, and it's about Balaam, 22nd chapter of Numbers, and you talk about the unexpected thing to happen when the Lord tells you to do something, and you think, well, I know the Lord said to do it this way, but I got a better way. I got something in my mind that's, I might even get rich over this deal. might earn a little gold and a little notoriety here. And that's exactly what happened to Balaam. In Numbers 22, verse 20, is where I'm going to start. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab, and God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. Now Balaam, wanting to go down the trail, got so upset he doesn't even realize he's talking to his donkey. And the donkey's asking him questions. Why are you hitting me? And he's arguing with his animal. And he threatens the animal and says, if I had my sword, I'd kill you right now. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. The ass says, if I ever acted like I wanted to kill you, did I ever tell you I wanted to kill you? You do stuff I don't like, but I don't threaten to kill you. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. I think that would be a shocker, wouldn't it? All of a sudden you see what your ass has been looking at, and you go, oh man, I was blind that time, wasn't I? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. This time he went with the attitude that, okay, I'm going to do it the way the Lord told me to. So we see here another characteristic of a soldier that was told to do something, and instead of personal gain, he was told to do what the Lord told him to, and only that, and not to go after the riches and the honor that Balak wanted to give him. I've talked to animals before, but I've never really heard them talk back. I hope I don't run into that situation, because that wasn't real good for Balaam. He kind of got himself in some hot water there. There is one soldier for Christ that I would like to meet, though. And it talks about him in Daniel, and it talks about him in Jude. And you know, someday we might meet him. Especially if we're working with him. In Jude, verse 9, it says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." Michael the archangel, who fought against Satan, who kicked him out of heaven. And here he is debating with Satan over the body of Moses. And he doesn't accuse Satan of anything. But he said, the Lord rebukes you. That takes a pretty good man. Or pretty good angel. Whatever you want to call him. Because he doesn't take it personal. He said, I'm here for the Lord, and the Lord rebukes you. And this is the way it's going to be. In Revelations, the 12th chapter, we read a little more about Michael, the archangel. I'm going to read verses 7 through 17. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So there is a war in heaven. The archangel kicked Satan and all of his little helpers out. It says, woe unto the earth, because now you have to contend with him. That means that we have to be soldiers for Christ. And we have to contend with Satan. When you think about that, it's a little scary, isn't it? Because you know that this war has gone on in heaven, and now it's spread down here to earth. But the earth is the Lord's, and we are the Lord's, and we know that he is going to be with us. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Satan trying to destroy the church. Trying to destroy that Christ had set up. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water and the flood. And guess what? The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, that's us. Hopefully, we are that seed that's carrying on this war. Keeping the commandments of God. Quite a responsibility that the Lord's given to us. But he says that he's going to be with us. And as we read about the soldiers that the Lord has given responsibility to, just as the officers found captains to control their people, to carry out special duties so that they might win the war, one battle at a time. They had to be strong. They couldn't be faint-hearted. Hopefully we are soldiers for Christ and we keep the commandments of God and we fight for the bride of Christ, his church. There's war in our lives. We need to do whatever is necessary to teach, to obey, to live by the Lord's standards. I give tribute to the warriors during this Memorial Day. We all know and we had loved ones that have fought in wars that might be over there right now even, fighting in wars. But we have our own war right here. The war for freedom. Not just from things of other nations, but from Satan. Because Satan's out there trying to take away our freedom. He wants us to be in chains just like he's going to be. Whether we be Gideon and ask for a sign to be given on our fleece so that we can be sure that these are the things that God wants from us, whether we be David going against Goliath, or if we be Samson tying the foxes together and lighting the fires to defeat the Philistines, or if we be beside Michael to fight a war against Satan. It's all a part of life. It's all something that has been done before. And the Lord gave us these scriptures so that we could study, so we would learn that when the Lord's with us, nothing's impossible. We can go against Goliath. He'll tell us when we look at our fleece if that's truly what he wants from us. When in Joshua, in the 24th chapter, verses 14 and 15, Joshua was commanding the people of Israel. He said, choose. Choose who you're going to fight for. Whether you want other gods or if you want my God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the God of Israel. Thank you.